So when did KISS start?
It started 2 weeks ago, Tuesday the... of. Hold on. If I can think of the date of it.
Yeah.
I don't remember the date.
Okay, what was the idea behind it?
Well, the idea was to get a second channel for young broadcasters to start trying out, developing broadcasting as such, and develop potential talent that's available, and generally have more music for people, and different format from Nova.
Mm. How's it being accepted, that, virtually all music format?
Well, generally you can start off with all music because it appeals to most people. They have continuous music all day, but that's not the ideal of the station. It won't be continuous music all the time.
Mm.
We'll be doing current affairs reports and things like that.
And that's still to come then, is it?
It is, yeah. It's only in its very, very infancy at the moment. We don't have a full staff yet or anything. But within the next 2 weeks, it should develop a lot further.
Yeah, I noticed the jingles. What was the frequency again?
102.7.
Those are ready-made, are they, from American...
They're borrowed.
By the sound. They're
anorite. They're borrowed. There's a KISS FM in New York and one in California, and both on 102.7. So we lifted a few. But we intend to get a jingle package from KISS in Los Angeles, if we can borrow it or buy it or something.
So that's one of the occasions when the jingle package determine the frequency.
Yeah. It is, and it's upset a certain radio station in Dublin who are on 101. I think we're trying to steal their listenership.
Mm. Although there is, there's good separation between the two, and I'm kind of sitting on one of the doorstep. Mm. But apparently that station wants to set up another FM themselves. They have a spare transmitter.
Yeah.
And if they want to set up a rival, not a rival, but something else. On the same lines, but yeah.
You were in first.
We were there first.
Mm. Well, on that frequency, anyway. That's the thing over in Dublin. Like, it's first come, first served.
Nova was the first major FM station in Dublin.
Mm.
And started only FM. KISS is only FM, but will be going on medium wave in the near future.
Mm. So I remember I came over in 79 the first time, and I think there was must have been about one on FM then, which
that
was total AOD. Distortion.
Wasn't yeah.
It? The one I heard, anyway.
It was in an experimental stage because none of the Dublin-based pirates now, the smaller stations are going into FM particularly. Mm. There was a station in Dunleary which was on FM only for a stage, and then went on to medium wave on 96.1. But that transmitter came from Radio Zodiac in London, the pirate station there. They built and they go over and buy them off, and they get about £200, £250 sterling. They can buy a 40, 50 watt, which is more than sufficient if you have a proper aerial system and a good height. 40 watts will cover...
In mono.
It was a good mono transmitter. It was actually one of the best of its type, it didn't match Nova or Sunshine's, but in mono quality, it was equal to them in its own way, taking into account how much it cost. When it's 50 watts up against 2 kilowatts at £25,000, and that costs £250 sterling, it's not doing too bad, But I think it's the same with some of the British stations, but a lot of the Irish stations now are having problems because, Nova and Sunshine are marketed properly, and that's the game. Mm. Well, they'll always be the smaller stations, the cowboys, but the medium wave band is a band where it's still really piracy. The FM has become highly professional, so much so that it's actually even concerned the state. They're getting very, very worried, And since the Nova and Sunshine, well, more or less Nova, have brought in high-powered, proper medium wave transmitters, the whole ball game has really turned around. Because before that, it was all television sets and back-of-the-car radios with a couple of valves, and that's the system actually operated on.
This last year when I was over, I went and had a look at one in somewhere along Eden Key, I think it was.
That's Double R. Capital.
Oh, Double R it was at the time.
Double R, yeah.
Yeah, and that transmitter was spread out on the window ledge.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be surprised. But
it was in the Waldorf Astoria.
Yeah, there was one actually which was, the old Big D transmitter used to be, under a stairs, just a whole series of valves and a floor and a few wires. There's a transmitter in which used to be Sonic Radio on it's now on 300 metres, classic incident. A lot of people get RF burns. There's a guy, who's Scott Williams, for instance, has a very bad RF burn on his hand, mainly from transmitters arcing, because people are wet clothing, walking in the door, as a good old spark jumps from one to the other, because none of them are protected. But there's a station, Dublin Radio Dublin, as I was telling you. I mean, they have a 5 kilowatt transmitter, proper, what's it, Hertz? That a Hertz? Hertz of transmitter?
Westcliff.
Is it Westcliff?
Yeah. Or Weston, sorry.
They own Hertz, is it? Is there a transmitter called Gates? Gates?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a Gates, 5 kilowatt. But it's only running at about 300-400 watts because they, you know, really they don't know how to use it. Mm. You know, it's the best. It's the best of the pirates. I wouldn't call Nova Pirate, but it is. But it's definitely the best of the pirates I've ever seen, you know. But I don't know what'll happen. They're going to close it down, that's definite. They just, you know, they're getting tired. Winter of discontent is on the way. You know, money gets tight. RTE is losing about £4,000 a day at the moment. And, you know, they're getting very worried.
Why is she coming back?
You know.
No.
But what'll happen, I think, Moon Sunshine will be in with a chance for a license. But then again, ownership is going to cause problems too, because you're going to have people saying that stations will be owned by Irish people and not by English people or anybody else in that case. And Sunshine has got around that. Robbie Dale carries an Irish passport. Well, he's an Irish born here and went to work in Britain, so he uses that as a lever. Chris isn't, but Chris has made it quite clear that provided he has shares, he's willing to hand it over to the Vatican if they want it, you know, if it means it could continue. But definitely Nova and Sunshine have led the way in pirate radio in this country, you know. I mean, Irish radio, really, it was a lack of interest, a lack of finance, and Nova and Sunshine, just two professional radio stations, and they came along and they've, you know. And that's why a lot of the other smaller stations now either get better or they just close down, because people want to hear high quality radio, no matter what way you work it. I think I'm right in saying that. You know, they want professionalism. And if they don't get it, they will. I mean, Radio Dublin still will always have its 7% listeners. I mean, there are certain people loyal to different stations. It just so happens that Nova has probably the most loyal amount of listeners at the moment anyway. But I mean, that could change. I mean, that's one thing which has become very apparent between the two Novas and Sunshines, that things can change.
Okay, I'm Stuart McLaughlin. And the last guy was Brian Edgar.
Now, what I mean, the thing is that both with Nova and Sunshine, they're using vast, powerful transmitters. I mean, Sunshine's transmitter is about, well, it's a little over a kilowatt. Nova has a 10 kilowatt RCA transmitter, stepped down to run at approximately 5 kilowatts. And they're putting out about 3, I suppose. But the thing of it is that you want to verify those facts. But I mean, the thing is that when you take it into comparison, the amount of people that live here, the size of the country, I mean, what do you want? I mean, 2 stations or even 3 stations could be enough to outdo the national service, right? But they'll never be able to employ the amount of people. You see, the thing is that Ireland, in its sense, its state structure has what it calls semi-state bodies. In other words, they can actually, I mean, RTE runs commercials like the IBA in Britain, but yet the state own it, like the BBC. So it's a kind of a cross between the IBA and the BBC. And the problem is, if a station sets up which has no state sponsorship and is totally commercially orientated and is geared to the young people, because 25% of the population are under 25 anyway, it's one of the youngest populations in Europe. The thing is that station is going to win. I mean, that's what's happened. Now, RTE Radio 1 or Radio Éireann is like the BBC World Service with a mixture of BBC Radio 4 and a mixture of BBC Radio 2. Like, it's the voice of Ireland, although it doesn't broadcast on a long wave. But the thing is that station has been around since 1925. It's as old as this. Now, 22, it's virtually as old as the BBC, right? They were both virtually set up at the same time. And the fact of the matter is that she can't survive, because she has to have an engineer, a co-engineer, a producer, a guy sits at a table, whereas in this, like Nova, they can bring in Pi mixes, EMT decks, and one guy can do miracles on air, whereas they just can't do it. And Nova lately has, well, its policy was to educate to an extent, and it has high quality news programs on the air, which are taken off the BBC, Radio 4, the World Service, RTE, and all the other stations.
And basically, it's piracy at its best, and it's presented in a professional manner. But see, RTE, like any other major network, has to pay for everything it takes, or it must take under an agreement. It just can't just copy it and rerun it. And the fact of the matter is that the people within RTE, because I've been talking to them, especially the union, some people do want independent radio, the rest don't. They want RTE to set up local radio stations using relatively low power, something in the region of 500 watts FM stereo. And about a kilowatt AM or medium wave, and just simply operate within its own area. And if that's done properly, that would be, I mean, Nova could possibly coexist on 500 watts or even a kilowatt stereo and a kilowatt AM. That way you could get away with maybe three stations in Dublin, but it wouldn't be receivable. It wouldn't cross, let's say, be receivable in Galway, right, 300 miles from here. And in that way, RTE could still control the nation and what was going on within it. But it is a problem, and what will happen will be that they'll probably just blow the whistle. And, I mean, they're going to call it a day. Someday it's going to happen, because their deficit this year is in the region of 4 or 5 million. And, they just can't cope. And it is causing aggravation. They have brought in a transmitter into Montrose, the Donnybrook Centre there, and the policy was to jam medium wave with FM, which apparently is extremely effective. But they were stopped because of the possible risk of public outcry. Because people will accept Radio Nova's legal radio station, so will they accept Sunshine. They won't accept Radio Dublin or any of the other smaller pirates stations who use homemade transmitters, but yet you can build a homemade transmitter which will sound just as good as the professional stations. Another approach that RTE may decide to take is just simply just let the matter rest. Just keep taking the money from the state and sit back and smile and do nothing. And let the pirates set up and let more come in and more come in, because what happens is basically every 5 years a cull. There are so many stations, the market becomes saturated, and only the strongest survive. And since Nova and Sunshine are virtually, although Nova is more powerful in relation to transmitter size and so on, and in popularity, they are staying off. But there was another station called Capital, which recently tried to get into the market, a businessman with money, but they didn't launch themselves. In other words, they were not Robbie Dales or Chris Carey's. They weren't pirate people. They didn't understand the system. They didn't know it's all or nothing. And that's what Robbie Dale and Chris Carey have done. They put all in, and they didn't. And subsequently, they're closing down because they just couldn't survive. Now, they were the Irish comeback, I suppose you might say, although with respect to Nova and Sunshine, they were the Irish comeback. But the fact of the matter was that they just couldn't cope. And whether they rise again from the grave will remain to be seen. But unless somebody with pirate background gets involved, I doubt it, you know. Because of the problems, you have to put everything into it. They have a very powerful, well, they have a local powerful transmitter, but puts out about 500 watt stereo, which is sufficient for Dublin, especially for South Dublin anyway. And I mean, the area that it was covering was an area of about 250,000 to just on 1 million people, you know, and that would have been financially enough, provided they had a medium wave transmitter of about a kilowatt with good clean signal and good clear channel. So, I mean, it's so far the Irish haven't been able to come back, you know. But yet, Nova and Sunshine are giving a lot of employment to Irish people, and it's something in their favour, you know. But whether or not the protests will arise later on, that remains to be seen. A lot of people are convinced that Nova is an American station, and a lot of people are convinced that, well, Sunshine is as Irish, I suppose, as the Irish. It's what people are told at a later stage is what can affect them, especially with Irish politics and Irish sort of sense of humour and so on. But I don't know, I definitely think that that Nova will make it. I think Sunshine will too. Or if not, the people involved in the equipment will be taken to an extent. But I mean, if the IBA type thing comes in, they'll all lose their transmitters anyway, you know, and the state will provide them, and they rent it off them, and so on. That obviously is the most logical thing in relation to its own security, because that way it can turn anything off if it wants to.
Do you think the last 12 months or so, with the sort of shaky position of
RTE,
anybody getting a government to last, has affected the situation?
Oh, yes.
Nobody's willing to go all out against it.
Oh yes, no one wants to rock a boat, especially if it's taking in water. You know, the less water that's in the boat, the longer it stays afloat. And the thing is that whether that situation will remain remains to be seen. Over the last close on 40 years, the two-party system has worked perfectly. But the problem is, with a young population, the voting structure has remained the same, but more parties are setting up, and subsequently the independent parties are getting more votes than they ever had got before. Subsequently, the two-party structure has been split, and with the enlargement of the voting areas, some constituencies now have 8 candidates in one particular area. It means that it can no longer be a two-party control. It means that an independent or 3 or 4 independents could get in and totally ruin what would have been regarded as a two-party area, or one party control one area, another party control the other. So what will happen is, freshly from now until the year, well, 1999 is going to be the same, until the population spreads itself out again, you know, or the population changes, or we all immigrate, which may happen with the way things are going at the moment.
Wouldn't you agree, Hugh?
With the way it is.
I know.
Money is tight and jobs are few, which is the same in Britain, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what way you work it. But yes, it has affected it, and I think it probably will continue to for quite some time. Although, there's a particular Director General in RTE who would very much like to put a stop to the whole ball game. Understandably, he's frightened for his staff and so on. And I mean, Radio 2 makes money, but it has to support the National Television Service, and there's 2 to 2 of them. And Radio 1 has to be supported, you know. But it's like all semi-state bodies, they're not designed to make money. So if something else within their area gets involved, which is a profit-making organisation, and is out to make money, it will make money, and it'll show up the state system for what it is, a non-profit-making system, and that's exactly what it is. But,
you know, I heard a programme many months ago now where they interviewed him, I think. George Waters. On the one hand, he was sort of very anti-pirate and also pleading poverty at the same time, and then saying, you know, about setting up
the crucial question is, there's a certain terminology which RTE is a habit to use. They call the pirate stations commercial stations, and the stations that they want to set up are as being independent local radio. Or community radio is the word that they use. Now, both Radio 1 and Radio 2 run ads. Now, I mean, if they're not commercial stations, or if the ads that they're running are not commercials, well, I mean, that's open to discussion what they are. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that RTE knows that it cannot possibly compete with the other stations. It can't compete with Nova because it's a non-profit-making organisation and so on. The fact of the matter is that, like the border works, it's there to give employment. So, I mean, if you weigh up the amount of people which RTE would have to take on to set up these stations, it might be, in the long run, more advantageous for an Irish nation to give it to its national service rather than to lease it out to people both within or without the country, entrepreneurs, and so on. It's a very bitter contest, especially within RTE. And sometimes I feel that the pirate stations, the big ones in Dublin, don't understand RTE's motives or understand the reasons behind it. I must be honest, Nova didn't originally, but it has grown to understand why George Waters gets paranoid if Nova turns around and says it made £250,000 this year and that everybody in Dublin is listening to them. It's understandable, right? Because Dublin is the biggest population density area in the country. And it has one of the biggest populations of young people. Because a lot of people come up from the country to Dublin to get work and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, what is going to happen is that, or if he can have his way, he will stop it. He's the right man for the job, because if he wishes to be a bugger, he will be one. And that's it. And I mean, one can understand he's fighting for 2,200 people. And I mean, one can. If you put yourself in his boots, I mean, would you resign? I mean, what could you do? I mean, you have to fight them some way. And since the state is too scared to act, or at least to bring some sort of logic into the whole chaos, he stated recently in an interview, either give them a bloody license or close them down. And in a sense, he's right. I think the state should say, yes, we're going to license them. And what we want to do is, they set the transmitters at no more powerful than 1 kilowatt. So straight away, you're hammering the high-powered stations. And thirdly, to set up a station, you need £250,000. And there are 4 licences or whatever. There's the man to talk to. 4 licences or whatever.
Who's that?
That's Chris Curry. Oh. 4 licences or whatever, going for Dublin. And whoever has the £4 million, they go to a board of interview, and that's it. And the stations can be on the lines as they are now to keep everybody happy, to allow freedom of expression. Have a continuous music station, have an all-news station. You know, have them different, right? So that financially they can exist.
right? I think the thing in Britain is because they're IBA, they're all spread out, they don't clash with one another. But if Dublin is such a small place, and it really is a small place, although it's expanding, but because of the population, it's better to have a variety of different stations rather than all being together, you know. And let RTE have one of those commercial stations, you know, if that's the case. But the fact of the matter is that it is going to cost the state more money anyway, you know, or even better, have these particular stations which are being set up paying a license fee which goes directly to RTE.
Yeah.
So they help paying for that, right, and take it from there, you know. But it is something which is going to have to be looked at, you know.
Right.